Janae and Golic Jr., the podcast.
Best looked like they were back last night. And boy, Utah looks like they might be the best in that series, tied 1-1 right now, up 21 on the Denver Nuggets at this point in time. It's Janae and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio, ESPN News, Sirius XM Channel 80. We're presented by Progressive Insurance, and guests join us on the show, Penzo Performance Line. But Janae, last night, while we got to some answers from LeBron James, Anthony Davis, and the Lakers, and some questions now for Damian Lillard and the Trailblazers, we also had beef.
Oh, I'm here for this beef.
So for anyone that might have missed this last night in the broadcast, we had Mark Jackson and Jeff Van Gundy, obviously NBA on ESPN, on the call on this one. And Mark Jackson made a comment about Carmelo Anthony and his defense over the years. And just listen to what Mark had to say during this broadcast, and then Chiney is going to catch us up to speed on what happened next.
People who killed Carmelo Anthony in the past for his defense and whatever, they were wrong. This guy is picking up LeBron James full court. He's overmatched.
I don't agree with that. I don't agree that they were wrong. This is a change. This is different. This is putting more into the defense. Maybe before he didn't play as hard defensively.
Okay, I'll tell you this. Then there's a shared responsibility for whoever allowed that defense to be played, because for some reason he is bought in with this culture and he's committed to it.
So someone took that personal, and we know who that was. George Karl, obviously the former head coach of the Denver Nuggets from 05 to 13, and he tweeted, "I heard Mark Jackson is taking shots at my defensive coaching during tonight's broadcast. Remind me, how many all-star teams did you coach, Mark? How many defensive players of the year? How many finals appearances?"
Ooh.
And the dagger, oh my goodness. "How many of my teams became dynasties right after I left?"
Yo, that is evil.
The shade.
That is evil.
The shade. Now, Mark Jackson clapped back saying, "Wasn't even thinking of you. By the way, I never lost to you in the playoffs as a player or as a coach. God bless you and yours."
Now,
beef.
You have to know that you just launched a shot, like a worthy reply, to hit someone with a God bless after, right? Like, you can only do that after a dagger.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's also one of those things where it's like, let's take this offline. God bless, this is it. Like, we can't rebuke religion or something like that. But it's fun. It's fun to see the OGs get into a beef.
Okay, that's what I was going to say. Like, especially, like we're used to the modern NBA, like, emojis in the comment sections, guys taking things to Instagram. Oh, it happened earlier with Pat Bev and Paul George and Dame Lillard earlier in the playoffs. But to see the old heads going at it online.
Look, that's one thing we learned from The Last Dance, right? Like, it doesn't matter how far removed you are from the game, you still feel some type of way. I mean, the thing is, in my opinion, I don't think he was directly talking about George Karl. I just think it was the fact that, give credit to this Portland Trailblazers team and Terry Stotts, that they've motivated a player that has historically not necessarily been the best defender to playing defense. It wasn't necessarily an indictment on any other team. It was more so, look, we're talking about voices in people's ear and white noise. Like, look, they got the right... And there's also the right scenario. Like, he's grateful to be back in the NBA. He had a long path back. He's with the team that believes in him. He's had some big games, even though the last one he didn't have a great game. He's had some big games for this team. He feels back. Like, he's going to do whatever it takes because he's grateful. I just think it's hilarious how he read in between the lines and just went straight to, like, went from 0 to 100. Like, you talking about me now.
I was going to say, this seems like one of those things, you know, when people go searching, like, no one tags you in something, but you go searching for your name on Twitter or searching for your name on Google just to see if someone might have thrown something out there for you. And all of a sudden, like, usually in moments like this, if there's a little too much truth in the statement and you feel attacked by it, that's when you're lashing out. And by the way, if you want to know how George Karl feels about this, 11 o'clock Eastern tonight, Freddie and Fitzsimmons, George Karl is going to be on with the guys. I am very intrigued to see a response to this beef.
You know what's so funny? In our day and age, as youngins, we sort of just say, "at me next time." Like, George Karl could have literally hit him with the "at me next time you talking about me." But he just, I love the OGs.
I love it.
The OGs.
Oh, I was going to say, they're going to be hanging out with the OGs of our radio lineup, Freddie Coleman, Ian Fitzsimmons, 11 Eastern tonight. Janae and Golic Jr. reminding you that the NBA playoffs are on ESPN Radio. Tune in Sunday as Luka and the Mavs battle Kawhi and the Clippers, presented by Indeed. Coverage begins at 3 p.m. Eastern on most ESPN radio stations. So, Janae, we mentioned Melo. We mentioned the Blazers. Last night, it wasn't even close. That game was over before halftime on all this. And so it looked at some point. We saw Dame go off with a dislocated finger. They just looked gassed. Now, is this a case of one bad night for this team, or are we going to start to look at this and say it's just been too much for them since they ever entered the bubble having to play at this pace?
Look, I think one thing about Damian Lillard is that he is a star. But he also, similar to LeBron James, lets his team lead and see what they do before he starts to try to take over. Not saying that Damian Lillard is LeBron, but they sort of approach the game the same way. He has no problems waiting for his moments, and when he gets his moments, he goes off. Now, the wait took much longer for him to sort of find his rhythm. This was in game one. I don't know if many people caught it. They were doing the most. His opponents will do the most to slow him down, rightfully so. This man is on fire. And so I think it's going to take a while for him to pick and choose his moments, and also for Portland to understand, how do we play out of the double team? It shouldn't be easy, but those schemes, again, the Lakers are one of the better defensive teams in the NBA. When they have Anthony Davis at the five, they sometimes sub in JaVale McGee. They have Dwight Howard. All of those guys allow you to be more aggressive on the perimeter. Get in those passing lanes. Go in double because you have helicopters in the paint that have your back. So that's a lot for Portland to figure out, especially when you're dealing on the other side with, even though LeBron James only had 10 points, you still have to respect his talents. And when his teammates, we're talking about AD, when AD's going off, you respect LeBron's talents and his teammates are finally knocking down shots, it's not going to be easy for you.
Yeah, and you mentioned those double teams, 16 of them thrown at Dame last night. The Blazers were 2 of 13 on passes off those, 2 of 13 off of those plays. 0 for 7 on threes in that time. So the rest of that lineup spit the bit. Anthony Davis, you mentioned, going right at Jusuf Nurkić, going right at Hassan Whiteside in that, having 21 of his 29 half-court points against those two as defenders, which is what they needed because Hassan Whiteside in this series, I understand they lost, but that man is still a walking, living, breathing block party.
Oh, yeah, and that's what I love. You know, shout-out to the bigs because on both ends, the bigs have had big games for them, their teams in the bubble. Now, AD was on a different level. AD made it crystal clear, and this is what I love. These are the little things that I sort of noticed. It's not about the fancy things. It's not about the fancy turnaround fadeaway shot that he knocked down or that nice little crossover that attacked the rim. It was those offensive rebounds, especially where you have Nurkić in the paint and other bigs, other guards, and he still flew through and got the ball. Like, he wanted it more, and that's what it comes down to when it comes to the playoffs, playoff basketball. Who wants it more? Everyone is coming down on AD. You think about what his potentials are. Like, he could hold down a team by himself, but he made a choice. He fought to come to LA to play alongside LeBron James, where everyone is saying that things should come to you easier. And it has not been easy. He played with reckless abandon, and I loved it. I loved it because it was back to the basics. A lot of times when you're bigs and you're talented bigs, they think, you know, you tend to think that you have to play outside in. Like, let me hit the three so that I can open the floor. No, you have to play inside out. And that's exactly what he did. He got going in the paint. He was attacking the rim. Then he started hitting his little step backs and turnarounds, and he was knocking down threes, 3 for 4 from three. That is the AD that we know. And I love that it doesn't have to be perfect. He can miss a bunny as long as he's going for each and every rebound. And that's the motor that will make the Lakers successful.
Yeah, you said it, the offensive rebounding. And I felt like that was the biggest difference between game one and game two. In a lot of ways, in addition to some better shooting performances, was also just coming down with some of those and capitalizing. A lot of volleyball played around the rim by the Lakers bigs in game one. So lots to look forward to as that matchup heats up again over the weekend. But we brought up the NBA draft lottery earlier. We brought up the Golden State Warriors who land with the number 2 overall pick. We're going to talk to someone next who has mapped out every possible road that the Warriors can take with that newfound currency. We will get to that after this word from 303 Protectant. See, just like your skin, the sun's harmful UV rays can be damaging to your vehicle too. 303 Protectants keep your vinyl, rubber, and plastic surfaces from fading, cracking, or deteriorating over time. All you got to do, simply spray on and wipe dry, and you'll get protection that lasts you up to 30 days. You can use it on your dashboard, your console, your leather seats, even your tires. 303 has been a trusted brand for over 40 years, and they're the official car care products of the Mecum Auctions. It's available at O'Reilly, AutoZone, and Advance Auto Parts. Visit 303automotive.com for more information. Back after this, it's Shanae and Golic Jr.
Shanae and Golic Jr., the podcast.
This is my anthem right here.
Uh-oh.
That's my talk. Hey.
It's too Friday. It is way too Friday in here. And I love it.
I can't. Cliff, why do you keep doing this to me where I can't sing the lyrics?
It's probably for everyone's best interest in here that we all, like, Cliff is saving us from ourselves. It's Chinay Angola Jr. here on ESPN Radio. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. Guests join us on the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line, and let's have one of our guests help us save us from ourselves. It is ESPN NBA writer Kevin Pelton joining us now on the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. He wrote a piece for ESPN.com, about what the Golden State Warriors need to do now. And Kevin, we appreciate the time today. I'm curious, you laid out a number of different ways that Golden State can go with the number two overall pick, and I'm curious, do you have one you feel like is more likely at this point?
I definitely think a trade is going to be something they're going to explore. Woj talked about that last night on the lottery show, because you know, number one, the timing is now for the existing players on this roster. Steph Curry, Klay Thompson, Draymond Green. We don't know how long they've got left in their late prime to, you know, be a legitimate championship contending core. So, you know, as much as you'd love to get someone who both can help you do that now, and then as they develop, if it's a draft pick, then it's someone who can kind of supplant those guys. I don't know that that player exists in the draft, so I think that's going to make them aggressive in the trade market. The question is just whether that fit exists there either.
Yeah, you mentioned in your piece that you also pointed out that the Warriors might not find a trade that works. Can you explain that case?
I mean, I think the challenge is going to be, you know, finding the right match of need for the Warriors and what another team is willing to give up. Because if you've got this kind of, you know, whether it's a young player who can develop into, you know, a really nice piece, complementary piece to the Warriors stars, or if it's an existing, you know, guy who's in his prime and is a relatively star player, I don't know if there's a lot of teams that are looking to give those up for the second pick in this year's draft, because part of the issue here that I didn't probably get into as deeply in the piece is, look, this isn't considered to be a particularly top-heavy draft. It's not like having the number two pick last year where you're talking about John Morant and someone that, you know, most people expected to be a star. It's more in the eye of the beholder. So, you know, they have to find the right match of a team that has that kind of player. And, you know, if it's LaMelo Ball, if it's Anthony Edwards who's left on the board there, if it's James Wiseman that team liked, that they really believe that player is going to be a star.
Here with Kevin Pelton, ESPN NBA writer on Chinay Angola Jr. Now, he has a fantastic, very timely piece after the NBA draft lottery on ESPN Plus. Should the Golden State Warriors trade their lottery pick? Make sure you go check that out. Now, one pathway that you have delineated was the Kawhi Leonard path. Can you explain that?
I mean, that's the dream scenario for the Warriors, right? You have this 1 year where you're in the lottery because of injuries, and then you add this guy who comes in and immediately is a contributor, can play a role like Kawhi did. You know, he was a starter on what was the league's best team as a rookie. In year three, he's finals MVP as they win the championship. And then eventually, as Tim Duncan starts to kind of age out of being the centerpiece of the Spurs offense, then Kawhi takes over, ramps up his usage rate, and becomes this all-NBA superstar. So, you know, aside from the ending of Kawhi's time in San Antonio, it's exactly what you'd want if you're the Warriors. But I don't necessarily see that player in this year's draft, and that is a pretty rare one. You know, I went looking for guys who kind of fit that similar path over the past, you know, 8 years since Kawhi Leonard was in the draft, and really the only one I think qualifies so far is probably Jason Tatum, who, you know, year one was, you know, maybe the number three option for the Celtics on offense most of the regular season when they had Al Horford and Kyrie Irving healthy, and then took on that leading role for them in the playoffs. And now we've seen him become a star a few years down the road. But, you know, if there's a Jason Tatum in this year's draft, I haven't seen him yet.
Hey, Kevin, I'm curious. Mike Schmitz, we talked to him yesterday, said a lot of what we might see as far as the order of players coming off the board is going to depend how the ping pong balls fall. And so as you see Minnesota get the number one overall pick last night, is there a player that comes to mind for you now that feels like a lock for that number one spot?
I don't know if there is. I mean, I think it's interesting. I look at them and see Anthony Edwards is the guy who makes the most sense because of the fact that they just added D'Angelo Russell from the Warriors at point guard. They've got Karl Anthony Towns at center. That seems to kind of rule out Wiseman and LaMelo Ball. But if they're really convinced Melo is a future star, then, you know, maybe they draft him and try to figure it out down the road. And that's what Mike and Jonathan Givony had in their first mock draft, is Melo is the number one pick. So that came as a little bit of a surprise to me, because I was thinking Edwards when I saw them come up number one.
Kevin, yesterday we talked to Jun Lee, who basically put out an article talking about how Instagram is the new mixtape that we used to know from high school back in the day. Now, how much of the hype with LaMelo Ball can be believed? How much of the hype is real?
I think it's fairly legitimate in his case, and that's maybe a change from where it was, you know, a couple of years ago. I think Mike had a piece earlier this week about his development as a prospect and, you know, how he came to view LaMelo as the number one prospect. When he was playing in Lithuania a couple of years ago, it did seem like kind of a sideshow, you know, orchestrated by LaVar Ball. But he went to the NBL, put in the work there, and even though he's not a polished, you know, a finished prospect by any means, showed a lot of rough edges there, he played pretty well in a league that, even though it's not a lot of recognizable names, because of the fact that these are guys who are, you know, 3, 4, 5 years removed from their college days, if you evaluate the level of competition there, generally I would say it's better than what you would face in a Power 5 or Power 6 basketball conference. And LaMelo was, you know, one of the two or three best players in the league when he was active, according to my ratings. So I think there is some legitimacy behind the highlights in this case.
Kevin Pelton with us here on Chinay and Golic Jr. on ESPN Radio. Kevin, you also wrote a great piece on the effect and the loss of Gordon Hayward on the Boston Celtics, and I'm curious, we're getting ready to watch them tip off against the Sixers in a little bit. They've been dominant so far. How much does this affect the ceiling for this Boston team in the East?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's the big issue. We certainly saw in Game 2 that, you know, they can shake off that loss. They don't necessarily need him to win this series. But, you know, if they do get past the Philadelphia 76ers, the competition's going to get a lot stiffer in the next round. Toronto seems to be well on their way to putting away Brooklyn and making quick work of them. And, you know, this is the matchup that we've all kind of been anticipating in the conference semifinals. The Celtics and the Raptors have kind of been in the mix in the Eastern Conference for a number of years now, but have never, for whatever reason, squared off in the playoffs. And it's a great matchup if it comes to pass, because they're two teams that are really versatile, a lot of interchangeable players, a lot of wings, you know, who can do multiple things. And I think that's where you're going to start to really miss Gordon Hayward, because Toronto is going to put a lot of pressure on, you know, their defense is so strong that you're going to need his ability as a secondary shot creator. I think they'd miss that in that series.
You can follow him on Twitter, @KPelton. You can read him on ESPN Plus and ESPN.com. Kevin, we appreciate the time
today,
man. Thank you.
Yeah, thanks so much for having me.
Kevin Pelton with us here on Chinay and Golic Jr. All right, coming up next, we switch gears from ping pong balls to footballs on this one. How much pressure is squarely on the shoulders of not only Dak Prescott, but Mike McCarthy going into year one in Dallas? And what does the future look like for a former great Cowboys wide receiver? We'll check in with one of our favorite NFL insiders next here on Chinay and Golic Jr.
Chinay and Golic Jr., the podcast.
It's Chinay and Golic Jr. here.
Gotta wait
ESPN
for the beat
Radio.
Drop, huh?
Always,
I love it.
Always. I am Levitard show trained, if nothing else, in a lot of this. We're presented by Progressive Insurance, and all guests join us on the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line, and that is where we find our ESPN NFL insider, Jeff Darlington, on that Shell Pennzoil Performance Line with new Shell V-Power Nitro Plus Premium Gasoline. Jeff, how we doing, man? How many fish you caught lately?
Who's picking the tunes around this joint? That's pretty solid.
I was going to say, man, Cliff's been going to work.
Shout
this
out to Clifford.
Week. Big time pride in Cliff's effort.
I love it. No fish today, although the day is young, you know, so it's only 5:30.
There we go. It's still time for Jeff Darlington. As Trey Wingo would say, Florida man out here flaunting his fish all over Twitter. But Jeff, in the NFL, in the world of the painfully obvious, we had Mike McCarthy, Dallas Cowboys first-year head coach, coming out here and talking about, you know, the Super Bowl being the goal and all these things that we expect. Realistically, have we seen anything so far that indicates that any of that offseason strife around Dak's contract or anything of the like has had a tangible effect as they've gotten into camp?
No. And I think that only rears its head if things don't go well, if all of a sudden the team is underperforming, and then all of a sudden you'll see the finger pointing about, you know, this, because then Dak's got to worry about, you know, the coin he's getting after the season. But I don't think that they're thinking that way, and I don't think they should be thinking that way. I'm actually pretty bullish on the Cowboys right now. I mean, the division could be tricky with the Eagles, and if you don't win the division, it could be tricky getting into the playoffs because the NFC is so stacked with teams. But in general, like, Dak is as incentivized as ever to have a great season, and he's got a coach who honestly did a good job of staying out of the whole thing. So other than to support his quarterback. So no, I don't think that, especially right now, we will see any of that kind of come into play on the field.
Jeff, speaking of quarterbacks, but heading down to Tampa Bay, you got to love it when Gronk gets in front of a mic, right? Hearing the head coach, but Bruce Arians. That's exactly where I'm going. So for those who don't know, Bruce Arians said he was impressed with Gronk's body, saying it looked like it did 4 or 5 years ago. And Gronk said, "I didn't come back to move like poop." Now, before we get too excited about...
Which is, by the way, a strange analogy. Like, you can take that analogy a lot of different places.
That's
like,
what I
don't know.
Yeah, I'm going to censor myself because last time I talked about poop, it got me in trouble. Before we get too excited about this...
Way, women don't poop.
Exactly. Precisely. Thank you. That's a fact. Scientific. You got me off track. What are some real expectations for Tampa Bay Buccaneers this season, especially considering Gronk looks great, Tom Brady's there, and I guess, you know, the ceiling is super high?
Way to segue. Way to get me out of that one. look, I think the Super Bowl, speaking of bowls, I think the Super Bowl is exactly where the Bucs should have their eyes. I mean, look, this is not – you don't do this. It's the same – you know, LeBron doesn't go to the Lakers to just – to make the playoffs. He goes to the Lakers to win championships, and anything outside of that is falling short. And I'm not saying that Tom Brady needs anything on his resume to bolster it, but that's still the ultimate goal for him, and I think that's a reasonable expectation. I look at the weapons he has right now. I'll tell you this, Tom Brady on the Bucs is far more likely, in my opinion, to win a Super Bowl this year than Tom Brady on the Patriots. And I think that speaks volumes about the expectations that I'm placing on this team. So with Gronk feeling healthy, with the weapons around him, with the defense that was surging last year, yeah, I don't see why the Super Bowl is anything but a proper expectation.
Toilet expert Jeff Darlington with us here on Jhené and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio, our ESPN NFL insider. You mentioned New England there. We saw it looks like Jared Stidham might be dealing with a little bit of a hip upper leg injury, whatever they've deemed it there. But Bill Belichick came out with the platoon comment about his quarterbacks. Is that anything to read into, or is this just Belichick trying to keep everything under close watch until we get towards week one?
Yeah, that's all weird to me. Like, I it's so weird because like we don't even know. The weird thing to me is, like, if something like this happened with Tom Brady, we'd all be freaking out and wondering if the season is over, even though it's a minor thing and not a big deal. The weird thing about Jared Stidham is we just don't even know anything. Like, we know nothing about him. It's weird to feel like we don't even know that much about Cam at this point because of the injuries that he's kind of been through the last couple of years, which is just such a foreign, kind of weird, twisted way to look at the Patriots' upcoming season. And as natural as it does feel for me to talk about Tom Brady in Tampa for some reason, it feels very unnatural to talk about a quarterback competition with the Patriots. And, like, I don't know what to expect from it. I think it's fascinating, but I just have no idea how Belichick will even handle this kind of thing.
I'm curious, Jeff, as we talk about, you know, some veterans, aging veterans around this league and Tom Brady and what we're expecting to see from Cam Newton. This is an interesting one to me. Dez Bryant still gets a lot of traction every time his name comes up. He leaves Baltimore without an offer there after going to work out for that team. Are there NFL snaps in Dez Bryant's future still? Is that something we're really holding on to?
Probably. You know, it's weird to me with Dez. First of all, I don't think that he's like the player that he was when the catch happened, or the no catch. What it was a catch, by the way. But, like, I don't think we're talking about the same guy, obviously. And I understand why his name resonates as it does. But what is interesting to me is I don't feel like when the Cowboys, when he left, how did he leave? Like, they cut him, right? Like, yeah. I don't even remember how it went down. Or they just let him go. Whatever it was, it didn't feel like he was done when that happened. And I don't know if it's the baggage that comes with Dez, which doesn't even feel that heavy after what we've seen out of, for instance, Antonio Brown the last couple of years, but it didn't feel like he was done. Like, it feels like he belongs on an NFL roster. All that being said, I don't necessarily expect him to be like a number one on a roster, but I do think that we should see Dez Bryant on the field, and once we do, I am curious to see how he plays. He's a monster, right? Like, don't you remember this guy? Like, you don't just lose that. It was never the fastest receiver anyway. So even if he lost a little step, like, it's still about just the big body receiver. So for me, it feels like some team should have a place for him. Is kind of where I'm at on that.
And we've got a lot of time between now and the start of the season, and we know everything with the virus certainly makes this a much more fluid situation. We'll leave on a fluid note, Jeff. I know there's a lot of number two in this one, but you're always number one in our book. We appreciate it, buddy.
Nasty, nasty boys.
Thanks, Jeff.
Thanks,
guys.
ESPN NFL insider Jeff Darlington with us. Hey, Jeff is nothing if not a great time, and still plenty of time left in his day.
Fun fact, by the way, I've never been fishing.
You've never been fishing?
I've never been fishing.
Oh, see, we're going to have to fix that now because, again, like, my father is one of the first and foremost, like, fishermen that I have ever met. That guy lives for it. So we'll make sure we get the Agumakes, the Golics out on a boat somewhere.
Let's
we're making this happen.
Go. I'm down.
All right, Guzman, we've got plans officially for the rest of summer here now. But coming up next, we got to get to a couple of things here, including one of the NFL's best guys, someone who's had to shoulder a huge load in Washington, getting a little more on his plate. We know it's something he can handle, but it's certainly something we are concerned about. That's here next on Shanahan Golic Jr. on ESPN Radio.
Shanahan and Golic Jr., the podcast.
More whistling on this show. We are the foremost whistling show on ESPN Radio, ESPN News, Sirius XM Channel 80. You can probably catch us on the ESPN app. It's Shanahan and Golic Jr. right here with everybody. And it's time for something a little bit special here that we do around here every day, Shanahan. But first, was that you actually whistling at the end? Are you trying to take credit for that? What was that phase? All right, that actually plays.
That wasn't too bad, right?
I'm willing to let that one go.
Cliff, was that approved? Was that Clifford approved?
Hey, you got it. You won there right there.
Ah, thank you.
His face said otherwise, Janae. I want to let you know that. I feel like
I don't see him on the Zoom. Wow, with that fake energy.
How about that? Just like Cliff with
I'm
the
looking.
Sixers
I see you
yesterday.
Now. That fake energy. I'm not. No, Cliff. I'm blocking your camera on my Zoom now.
Done. Blocked. Speaking of that, done might be the way we talk about the Brooklyn Nets soon. They are now down 0-3 to the Toronto Raptors after
that
today.
Was cold.
That was probably a little harsh on my part. So we'll just go over to another beat down. The Utah Jazz are up 21 points on the Denver Nuggets right now. We're getting ready for the Boston and Philadelphia matchup coming later on. And then the Clippers in Dallas as the nightcap on this one. The Clippers going to be the interesting one. But, Janae, it's time for one and done. We each get the floor here. One big topic we're super hot on going into today. So, Cliff, let's get it going.
So much to say.
Are you good? Like, do you need a minute to breathe? Do you need some water?
So little time.
I'm trying to balance a lot right now.
One and done.
All right. One and done. Here on Shanahan and Golic Jr. is brought to you by 303 Protectant. 303 Protectants and Cleaners keep your car looking newer, longer. I'm going to start this party off, Shanahan, and I want to give some love, some much-deserved love out to everybody who's been working overtime to make the experience around the games that we've seen since sports restarted enjoyable. I'm talking about the people that have been coordinating the sounds and sights of the various bubbles and stadiums that you've seen right now. We talked glowingly the other night about the in-arena sound coordinator for the NBA working overtime to get E40 going, to get Too Short going on there for Damian Lillard when he hit one of the biggest shots we've seen in the early going of the playoffs. We have ranted and raved about their ability to mix and match these sounds, and it's been a massive coordinated effort. The NBA working with Firehouse Productions on this one. The NHL having multiple guys in each respective bubble in charge of making sure that every goal, every shot, every big hit is met with a loud ovation and a moment. Hell, we've even seen it in the stands with the cardboard cutout fans in Major League Baseball capped up by watching a teddy bear get hit by a foul ball in Oakland last night. We know it takes so many people to make these happen. We want those people to feel loved and appreciated because we know sports are different without fans. But this year, whether it's been virtual fans in the NBA bubble, whether it has been teddy bears in the outfield, these people, this surrounding cast and crew has worked overtime to make the sports we know sound and look more like the sports we're used to and love. Oh, you know what it's time for? We got him. The violent snaps around here.
Everyone's snapping in the control room. I love it.
Everyone's snapping around
here. Here we go. Do you know what my Twitter name is?
What's that?
At Chennai321. Mm. This was a huge week for the Washington football team, a franchise that has struggled on and off the field the last few seasons. Now, first, we witnessed Alex Smith, who overcame 17 surgeries, be cleared for football activities. It was a sight to see. And not too long thereafter, we witnessed Jason Wright become the first black team president in NFL history. After two big steps in the right direction, Washington once again found itself, though, at the center of controversy. One of their players, Darius Geis, faced serious allegations regarding violence towards women, but thankfully, that's when leadership stepped in. Coach Ron Rivera is one of the most well-respected coaches in football. He understands the value of diversity, considering that at the start of his tenure, he became the third Latino head coach in NFL history. But in his short 7 months as coach in Washington, he has faced real challenges, challenges that he did not create, but he has addressed them swiftly and accordingly. It finally feels like there's real progress in Washington, both in the front office and on the field. But in the midst of all of this, Coach Rivera now has a new opponent. He was just diagnosed with squamous cell cancer. The cancer was in a lymph node and detected through a self-care check. His openness and vulnerability in making this diagnosis public is courageous and another sign of someone who leads. This is shining a light to how important it is to be proactive and preventative when it comes to our health, especially in a pandemic. Our personal decisions as we move around in this climate can affect not only ourselves, but also others who might be fighting battles we don't know of. So the crew here at Chennai and Golic Jr. are sending our strength and prayers to Coach Rivera and his family. We are with you all the way.
Couldn't have said it better, Chennai. Obviously, someone who is head to shoulder so much. You want to talk about coming in and having to make an immediate impact in so many forms with his leadership in that franchise. Ron Rivera, we know, is someone who his family, his circle around him, and as he said, this is something they caught early. This is something that is very treatable, and this is something he plans to coach through. You talked about that decision in the wake of everything that is going on. He looked at this situation and still wants to be out there for that team, supporting that team that's now going to have to turn around and support him.
And it's also about transparency, the fact that he was forthcoming with this diagnosis, knowing the implications on leadership on the football side, says a lot about him. He cares about his team. He cares about the people that are going out there to work hard every day and give all they got. And now he might be in a position, you know, where we're lucky, we're grateful that, you know, it's been early detected. But if he's not having a great day, at least everyone knows and is there to support him. So I think it's extremely commendable what he's done, not only when it comes to football, but also what he's doing, reminding us to take care of one another when it comes to health, especially now in this climate.
And Chennai, you know this, being around teams, you see people go through all manner of hardships. They're losing family members, dealing with illness themselves or with family members. And when you see a Ron Rivera showing up at practice now every day, if you were Dwayne Haskins walking out there and you were dragging a little bit or having a tough day, if you were anyone else on that team, you now look to your head coach, who is already such a beacon and such a source of strength for so many, and now see someone who is battling through something that is a life-threatening disease. And thankfully, it isn't a place where it feels treatable and it feels like they caught it early enough. But still, every time you hear the word cancer, everyone stops in their tracks, certainly.
It's true, and it's one of those things that scare all of us. But again, early detection is key. Self-care is important, both not just, you know, physically, but also mentally. So during this time when we're all dealing with so much, take care of yourself. Also take care of one another. Those things are, you know, hand in hand and getting us to a place where we're better in society. So
take care of the people that take care of you. It's one of my favorite sayings that was always around our locker room, and it's one that absolutely applies to this. Washington will worry about, you know, a possibility of what has to happen if Ron Rivera needs to miss any time for any reason and any treatment there. They'll have that handled. But our thoughts and prayers, as you mentioned, go out to him. Coming up next, we'll revisit the NBA. We'll look back on the Lakers getting back on the right track last night, and if we can expect the same Anthony Davis going forward. It's ESPN Radio.